2 Samuel chapter number 17, and to continue on in the series here in 2 Samuel. We still got a little ways to go, a lot of great stories, a lot of interesting things to look at and to learn from. Tonight we're going to look at just three verses, and in these three verses the Lord kind of brought something to my heart and mind. It's probably not the way I would have picked it, but thankfully, we don't do it the way I want it. We try to do it the way the Lord wants us to do it. So these verses here in verses 27 through 29 is probably not something that you would hear a normal sermon or an entire sermon out of it. But the Lord spoke to my heart about these three men that helped David in this great time of need. And just talked to me a little bit about helping others that are in need. And the thought process here is about us helping others in needs. And the Bible talks a lot about that. This is 2 Samuel chapter number 17. The Bible speaks a lot about helping other people. The Bible says in Philippians 2:4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. James 1:27, pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is to this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hebrews 13:16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. 1 John 3:17, but whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And it is amazing to read the scriptures and understand that's just a short glimpse about how we are taught that we're supposed to help others and how we're supposed to help others that are in need. I remember the story. Some of the best ways it was shown is the story as Jesus taught that parable about the Good Samaritan and how the Good Samaritan was the one that was willing to help that person that was in desperate need. And this is where David's at. David's on a run. He's fleeing his kingdom. Absalom, his son, has taken over the kingdom. Absalom is building up an army to get ready to go and attack David. They're out there in the wilderness, and there's these three guys that come alongside, and from these three guys, they help refresh David and help refresh the people that are there with him. And I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life that people have been a blessing to me at the right time, at the right moment. It's been overwhelming. I don't know if that's ever happened to you or not, that you were in a bad spot and God sent someone and God sent that person. They just came, and they came with the right attitude. They came, and in a sense, they saved the day. I don't know if you've been outside and you've been working really, really hard and you're really, really thirsty, you don't have any water around, and someone comes up and gives you a cold bottle of water, they'll say something that you're a lifesaver or someone who saved the day. And that's something that I think that if we allow God to do it, God can use us to be a blessing and a help to someone in need, even if we don't know it. Sometimes it's amazing how God can put the pieces of the puzzle together that someone becomes a blessing and they don't even know it. All they're doing is just being faithful to God and being faithful to the things of God. I remember just here recently here that someone gave me some money for something, and they gave me, the church was having a dinner and they gave some money to help provide for the things inside the dinner. And you know what? Someone couldn't make something and they didn't want to come. I said, look, someone gave specifically for this. And you know what? God just worked those details out. And it's amazing. And you know what I do? I just get excited when that happens because God speaks to someone's heart over here. Someone has a need over here. And you know what? God makes it all work together. That's what we should be signing up for. Lord, I want to be right with you. I want to do what you've spoken to my heart about. And God, as you speak to my heart, I want to be a blessing to someone that has a need. And all you got to do is don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to understand it all. You just got to be faithful. You just got to say, okay, this is how I'm going to do it, and this is what I'm going to do. I got lots of stories like that, but there's one story that I'll reiterate to you, and it was someone who was a lifesaver or such a blessing on one day. It was about a little bit over 15 years ago when we came here, and I guess I'm 45 now, and so it was about 30. I never really truly moved ever. You know how hard and difficult it is to pack up something and move? The Gregors know what that is like to experience that right now. You pack up this big, huge truck and you move on out. Me and my wife had moved one time. We had stayed in a duplex with my parents, didn't have hardly anything. So when we moved from the duplex to the house that we were buying, we stayed only for a little while inside the duplex with them. And we didn't have hardly anything. So that move took a couple hours. Life was good. Well, after 8 or 9 years of marriage, and after 2 children, and grandparents buying stuff for kids, we accumulated a lot of stuff after those 8 years. Well, we were packing up to leave. I think it was on a Monday that we were packing up and leave, or maybe it was we were packing on the Tuesday and we were driving on Wednesday is what I remember, because we came here on a Wednesday night, June 25th, many years ago. And we got there. We had some friends just kind of help us box some things up, but nobody was available to help us on that Tuesday. And me and my wife says, it's just moving. It's not a big deal. We'll just do it together. And so we go get this big truck, and we back the big truck up. And thankfully, 2 people from the husband and wife, a lady who worked with my wife at the school, she didn't even really know her that well, they showed up and said, "We heard you were moving today. Would you like some help?" We would have never been able to figure out how to pack that truck. We thought this big, huge truck, we were only going to fill up half of it. We had to leave things behind because we didn't get a big enough truck. And it was just going to be me and my wife, and there's no way we might have ended up in a divorce by the end of that day if we would not have. But these 2 people come, and once again, I don't even remember their names. And you might think that's horrible, but it's just I had only met them a few times. They had gone to our church, but it was a bigger church, and they haven't been around for a long time. You say, "Pastor, are you getting at?" They were someone that God used, and that impression is on my mind today still, that they were such a blessing. They were a godsend. I know that the word lifesaver is the right thing, if you don't like that word terminology, godsend. They were a huge help in a time of need. I've never forgotten that. And tonight, I would like to look at these 3 different characters, same type of thought. David has a great need. They are a huge help to David, and there's some different important lessons I think we can learn from this, and I think we can just grow from this. And it's a little bit different than the other messages out of 2 Samuel. We went from the espionage and the spies and the wars and the battles, and next week you're going to get to see Absalom and David. They're going to finally face off, and there's going to be something that happens, and there's one of them is going to die, and one of them is going to take the kingdom back over. But let's look here at this story. And then we're going to look some things from this story, and hopefully this will encourage you to be a help and a blessing and to be a godsend. As great of a thing it was for that person to be a blessing to me, and I'll never forget that, I love it when the Lord allows me to be a help and a blessing and to someone else. Not because of a prideful thing, but because God able to use me to be a blessing, because I'm not worthy to be used, but God still can use us. Let's look at these 3 different verses. Now, there's some really funny names in here. If I mispronounce them, I'm sorry. I thought about getting one of those audio Bibles and just putting it up here and letting you listen to the three verses, but I'm just going to go ahead and grin and bear it here, and let's look at it. Verse number 27, "It came to pass when David come to Menahem, that Shobi, the son of Naash, and Rabbah, and the children of Amnon." So we see he's an Ammonite. "And Machir, the son of Amaliah, of Lodabar," and we see he's from Lodabar. This last one is Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogelium, "brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched poss and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said that people was hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." So in this story here, you see these 3 different characters. They thought of themselves. Now, these are not 3 individuals that came together to do this. They're 3 different people from 3 different areas that had this thought. There's a people out there that is hungry. There is a people out there that is weary. There's a people that is thirsty in the wilderness, and we want to help them. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God to speak to our hearts about helping others in need. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Lord, I pray that you help us understand some important truths out of this passage. Help us to see some things that we can grow from and some things that we can learn. Lord, we need wisdom from on high. There are so many people out there today that do have needs, some that are legitimate needs, some that are not legitimate needs. And Lord, we need wisdom from you to distinguish where we should help and, Lord, where we should refrain. And Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts, helping us to remember that we can be a light in this world, and we can let our light shine bright that way that people will glorify our Father, which is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, picture yourself in with David, and as David's traveling in this wilderness, they have gotten to a certain spot. They're there. You're going to see next week that there are armies. They had armies over hundreds and armies over thousands. You're not just looking at a few people that need to be taken care of. You're looking at a big multitude. Now, Absalom's army is going to be a lot bigger, but he did have a good size army. They are out in the wilderness, and they as you can see, they have needs. You look at the end, it says the people are hungry, they're weary, they're thirsty in the wilderness, and they bring, what do they bring? They bring beds and basins and earthen vessels. They bring everything that they can think of to try to help and be a blessing. First point is, what do we know about these men? There's three different interesting men in this story that we don't know a lot about, but that history and the Bible tells us some things about it. Look what it says first in verse number 27. We see the name Shobi, the son of Nahash of Rabbah and the children of Amnon. Now, this man we've never heard of before in the Bible, but we have heard of his brother. If you want to take your Bible back to 2 Samuel chapter number 10, we'll meet his brother and we'll see the dealings that David had with his brother. 2 Samuel chapter number 10 and verse number 1. And it came to pass after this that the king of children of Amnon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness in Hanun the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David said to him to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. So if you remember this story, we learned about it a few months ago. David wants to comfort the king of Amnon because his father was kind to him. Well, his son that came on the throne goes and uses the comforters and abuses the comforters. And look what it says. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Amnon at the end of verse number 2. And the princes of the children of Amnon said unto Hanun their lord, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? Wherefore Hanun took David's servants, shaved off one half of their beards, and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. And they told it to David, and he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return. So I want you to put a picture here of who this guy is. David's trying to be kind to him. Instead, he retaliates by humiliating the servants that he sent. And you say, who is this? This is the guy's brother. If you go back to chapter number 17, verse number 27, Shobi, the son of Nahash, of Rabbah, the children of Amnon. So it's the brother of Hanun. So we see, first of all, the first guy that's going to help David is a man named Shobi, who's brother to the man who took advantage of, mocked, ashamed these men. So just kind of put that back in your thinking cap. We'll get back to him in a second. So look at the second person. Here in the second person, we see here not only is there Shobi, the son of Nahash, or Rabbah, the children of Amnon, we have Machir, the son of Amalia, of Lodabar. Now, that name Lodabar stands out. Why does that name Lodabar stand out? It's because there's someone who came from Lodabar. Anybody remember who came from Lodabar? Mephibosheth. So he knows that because he likes that song, Mephibosheth, right? The son of so you go back to 2 Samuel and chapter number 9. Go to 2 Samuel chapter number 9 and look what it says in verse number 4. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 4. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. So that's 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 4. You look at chapter 17, verse number 27, what do you got the connection there? Same guy. This is the guy who took Mephibosheth in when Mephibosheth didn't have anybody. He's someone who was kind to a man that was crippled from the house of Saul, and he was taking care of him. And remember the story that David goes and David takes him in. David treats him as a son, as a favor, or because of Jonathan. So the second guy, kind of put him back in your thinking cap. We're going to try to bring out some reasons why, some excuses they could have made and some reasons why they did serve and help David. Third thing, you see this guy down here with that crazy name, Barzillai, the Gilead of Rogelim. So Barzillai, we know nothing about up to this point. you're going to have to move forward to find out a little bit about him. So go ahead and take your Bible and go to 2 Samuel chapter number 19. 2 Samuel chapter number 19, actually chapter 20, and go to we'll start in verse 31. Now, this is when David has returned. As David has returned, there's people that are meeting him. It's a triumphal entry. Mephibosheth has come out to meet him. Some of the other leaders have come out to meet him. Shimei has come out to meet him. And here, Barzillai, the Gileadite, in verse number 31, comes out also to rejoice with him as he returned. And Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogaliam and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. And Barzillai was a very aged man. So what do we know about him? Only thing we know about him is he's old and he's wealthy also. He said, even 80 years old, so he's 80 years old, and he had provided the king substance while he was at Mahanaim. For he was a very great man. That idea of the great man doesn't mean his size. He's referring to his wealth is what I am seeing it as. And the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me. He's making, because of his kindness, he's saying, I want you to come over with me to Jerusalem. He said, I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live? He's like, I'm too old for this, that I should go up with the king into Jerusalem. He says, I am this day 80 years old. And can I discern between good and evil? He says, I'm not going to be able to help you give you wisdom. Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? He's like, doesn't matter what you give me. I'm not going to really know what's really good or bad because my taste buds aren't what they used to be. Can thy servants taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? He's like, I can't even enjoy those that would be singing there. I can't hear well. He says, wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto the Lord, my Lord, the king? And he says, thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king. And why should the king recompense it with me with such a reward? So I want you to see here the heart that's there. We're going to look at that in a little while. The heart of Barzillai is because of the fact he wasn't doing it to get advancement or getting reward. So we say, Pastor, what's the three things we can learn? Well, we learned a little bit already. There's first thing I want you to think about is three different excuses they could have made. There's a lot of people out there that see people that are in need. The Levite walked past the guy in the Good Samaritan story. The priest walked right past him. And there's a lot of people out there that can make up excuses why they cannot help others. Now, as I mentioned in my prayer, this is my really concern is we need to be walking with the Lord. We need to be good Christians. We need to be spirit-filled so the Lord can lead us and guide us and where we should help and who we should help and how we should help, because we're going to make a mess of it. But the Bible speaks about being a help to others, being a help to people in need. I know I get phone calls all the time. Do you help with electric bills? Can you help with this? Can you help with that? And there are sometimes people that are in need because they've placed themselves in need and they do not want to do anything to help them get themselves out of need. They're looking for a handout. And then there's others whose circumstances, like David's here, who is beyond their control and they are in need, and God speaks to certain people's hearts who go out and try to help those that are in need. And that's when God will send people and God will use people. Do I have all the answers for that? I do not have all the answers for it. That's why I think we need to be close to the Lord as we can be and let God speak to our hearts, and we make decisions based off of how God leads us and directs us. But there are some things that these men could have used as an excuse. They did not use an excuse, but think about some of the excuses. First, Shobi here, he was a person. If you went back and you looked at the story about his brother mistreated David's servants, Shobi's brother shaved off half their beard, which was a shameful act, cut off their robes to where revealed something of those servants, and he was very nasty to him. And Shobi, if you kept on reading the story, David didn't like that. So what does David do? David says, here, you go to Jericho, you stay. And then when the people of Amnon find out that David's upset, the people of Amnon begin to get a battle ready, and they begin to get a war ready, and David goes out and fights against them. So what Shobi could have been said, there's no way I'm going to help David. There's no way I'm going to help someone who went out and fought against the battle. He didn't treat me right, and because he didn't treat me right, I'm not going to help David. And sometimes people will say, I'm not going to be willing to help that individual because they treated me wrongly. Shobi doesn't have that response. It's important that we respond with grace instead of resentment. It's important that we be grace givers instead of people that are holding grudges. Am I saying it's a license to help any and everyone? I'm not saying that. But I am saying that Shobi was someone who allowed himself to go and help a person in a foreign nation, to help a foreign king that was in a great need. He could have said, forget it, it's not my battle, it's not my war, I'm not going to have anything to do with it, I'm not going to help David, I'm not going to help Absalom, I'm going to wait and see what happens. But he remembers the kindness that David showed. He remembers the kindness of when his father passed away, that David said, you know what, I'm going to send some people and I'm going to go and I'm going to pay my respects. I'm going to give a present to them because they're going through a hardship. They're going through a hard time. I can only imagine what it must be like. And I'm just going to go and I'm going to be a blessing to them. And instead, Hunan turned around and treated them disrespectfully. So he could have said, I'm not going to treat him that way because of the way he responded by fighting in the battle. Second person, another excuse that could have been made by Machir. Now, Machir is the son of Amiel. He was a man that took care of Mephibosheth and while he was hiding in Lodabar. Now, he could have said, why should I help David? I've already helped. I've already given. I've already taken care of this lame man, Mephibosheth, for years. It's somebody else's turn to help. It's someone else's turn to give. It's someone else's turn to do their part. And that's another excuse people use. Number one, I don't want to help because there's people because of the way they treated me. Number two, I don't want to help them because of the fact that I've already helped. Let somebody else do it. Let somebody else go out and do the things that needs to be done. The third thing I see about this man is in Barzillia, I see in it's another excuse that could be used is, I'm too old. Ever heard that before? I'm too old, I just can't help. Now, there are certain things that an older person may be limited in doing. I get that and I understand. But at this stage, sometimes in people's lives, they realize that this is the opportunity they have to finish strong for the Lord. But many times people will turn around and say, I'm too old, let somebody else do it. Let the younger generation do it. And there are certain times things that could be done, should be done by a younger person versus older people. But that's an excuse that Barzillia could have used. He could have said, I'm too old, let the younger people take the stuffs. They don't deserve my help because they didn't treat me right, is what Shobi could have said. I'm always volunteering, is what Machir could have said. Barzillia could have said, I'm too old to do this. These are three different excuses that people use sometimes why they cannot help others in need. These are examples of these men are examples to us that teach us they're not good excuses. They're not the reasons why we should not help others. Don't let the devil try to put an excuse in your mouth why you could be helping somebody else. Instead, look at these three examples and say, despite the fact I may have been mistreated, despite the fact that I've already served, and despite the fact that I might be older, if God wants me to, I am willing to go out and help someone in need. Now, another thing I liked about the Barzillia story, go back to chapter number 16, just probably one page over, verses 2 and 3. I want you to see the difference between Barzillia and a man named Ziba. Now, as we remember, we've already looked at Ziba. David is fleeing from the kingdom. He's leaving Jerusalem. This is the exact same day. Ziba, who is the guy that God, or Ziba, however you want to pronounce it, is the guy that David has put in charge of Mephibosheth's area, Mephibosheth's land, Mephibosheth's responsibility. He says, Ziba, I want you are now once again his servant. You need to take care of him. Remember that Ziba was the first person that met David as he was running. Look what it says in chapter 16, verse number 1. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him, and coupled of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisin, and 100 summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. And the king said, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the asses are for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and the summer fruit are for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth in Jerusalem, for he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. So we know this character. And I want you to compare the two. I hope I'm not losing anybody on here, but Ziba's going and bringing something to David, and he's trying to win David's favor. Ziba knows one thing. Ziba knows that either David's going to come back and reign, or Absalom's going to be reigning. Ziba wants to get on the right side. So Ziba is willing to go out there. He takes these things out there, and he tries to make himself look good to David. But we know that he is not honorable in this. He is not caring for David. He is seeking something from David, and David ends up giving it to him. David looks at him and says, "Where is thy master?" Talking about Mephibosheth. And Ziba actually says that Mephibosheth has now says that he's restored me the kingdom, that God has restored the kingdom unto him today because David has left. He lies about Mephibosheth, and he is not an honorable man. He has no desire really to help David. He just wants someone to give him something, whoever's the next king is. So why do you know that? Because Ziba does not go with David. He doesn't. If he was going to be with David, if he was going to be part, he would have went with David. He would have stayed with David. He doesn't want that. He wants. He knows Absalom could win. He knows David could win. He's playing both sides in order to try to get a blessing, in order to try to get an honor. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that it's important that when we go out to help others, we should be like Barzillai, who says, "I'm not expecting anything back. I'm not expecting any special kindness. I'm not expecting to get a reward for it." Ziba, he was someone who was, only reason why he helped somebody else is to get something out of it. The only reason why he showed kindness to somebody else is so that way he could get a reward someday. And that's not the reason why we help others. That's not why the Bible tells us to consider others before ourselves, to help others more than we're expecting people to help ourselves. The Bible says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which in heaven." If we would learn to have the mind of Christ and have a desire that our light would shine by helping others, then God is going to be able to take care of us. Probably the last thing that we're going to look at tonight is I want you to see some of the excuses that people make. I want you to make sure you have the right motivation when you're helping others. But the third thing I want you to see here is the response of these people. And it's kind of similar to the excuses, but they respond to David's kindness. So what do you mean? Well, think about it. Shobi, just as much as he could have resented David, he could have also been thankful to the fact that someone showed kindness when his father died. You think about it with the story of Machir, and as Machir is taking care of Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth is, we don't want to call him a burden, but he's somebody he has to be taken care of. He's not someone who could work and provide for himself, but he is there and he's taking care of him. He's hiding him. And David comes along and he says, "I want to show kindness." Obviously, Machir would have liked Mephibosheth, would have thought highly of Mephibosheth, was willing to help Mephibosheth. David comes and exalts him up. So how does this man respond? He responds to the kindness that he saw. He responds to the fact that David treated Mephibosheth with kindness. Now I'm going to treat David with kindness. Shobi might have saw how David treated his father with respect and how he was sending him messengers of kindness and messengers of remorse for the fact that his father died, and he wants to respond to that. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm getting at the point that is, as we are kind to others and as we demonstrate to others how much that we want to be a help and a blessing to other people, God will help respond that and take care of you someday too. What the Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse 17, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." The Bible saying there is that the person who has pity on the poor and lendeth to the Lord, and that which he have given will he pay him again. He's saying that God is not going to be a debtor of anyone. If you're going to go out and you're going to help others and you're going to try to be a blessing to others, that God will repay that. Is that the reason why you do it? No. Barzillai showed us and says, no. He says, "I don't want anything from you. I'm just doing it to be kind. I'm doing it because that's what God gave me to do and God told me to do." But guess what? God is still going to repay you for that. God is going to not be a debtor to anyone. I think about, go back to that story about that young couple, and I still can imagine their faces that helped us move that day. You know, I wanted to help others because of that. I've even helped some people move, and every time I've done that, I says, you know what, I want to try to be a blessing to that individual because of how much of a blessing they were to me. And when we got here that night, I still remember that night. I don't know, some of you might even help that night. That Wednesday night, we unloaded the truck after church. There was like 30 people in the house going in and out and carrying stuff and all this other stuff. And I was thinking, man, what a blessing that is. But I still remember those two that God sent. And the type of help they gave me was something I truly needed that day. think about this, and we'll finish with this. Consider the type of help they gave. They brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kind for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. The last thought I want you to see here is they gave thought into how they were going to help. You know, maybe even prayed. But they gave thought. As we go out to help others in a need, let's give thought to what we're going to do. Now, I don't want to seem cheap. I don't want to seem like I'm unthankful when I say this. So let me mark that. But sometimes when people give, they don't give thinking about the other person. They give because it's easy to give. You know, they got something that they don't want anymore, and I'm going to turn around and give it to somebody. I'm going to say that some people say, well, you should be thankful, and you should be thankful for whatever you get. I'm saying that we should look at someone and say, well, that's just your junk. You don't want that anymore. That's the wrong thought pattern. But they have here, they're giving things that were needed, and they were giving things that was important for them to use. And many times when we go out to help and want to be a blessing and a help to someone, we should try to do our best to give thought into it and pray about it and let God lead us and direct us in what type of blessing we can be. Why is that? Because you do not know what that person needs, but God does. You don't know exactly how you can help. You see there's a desperate need here. David's in a desperate need of help here. He is truly in need. His family's in need. These other people are in need. God speaks to these three different individuals. These three different individuals respond. They give the things that are needed. But sometimes I've seen when people were in trouble or in great need, and people give, but they don't give the things that are needed. They give the things that they don't want anymore. And don't want to seem like I'm being mean or harsh there. I'm just telling you, it's when we give, we should be thoughtful in our gifts. And I'm not saying when we're receiving something, when we're in a need, we turn around and say, well, I want this, and I want, no. That's not what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at here is in this story, these people were interested in meeting a need. They weren't interested in just giving to say that they gave so that way they could get a benefit from that. That's not what they were trying to do. They were giving because they wanted to help someone that was in need. God's providing for David in his wilderness time. We don't ever forget any of this is because of David's sin. David has sinned. David is reaping what he has sowed. And even in the wilderness, God has not forgotten him because he has asked for forgiveness. He has gotten his heart right. He is living for the Lord. You read some of the Psalms as he's running from Absalom, some of the wonderful Psalms that are mentioned about, oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. There's a lot of wonderful truth in that, but there's so much I think we can learn from being a help and a blessing. As I look around this room, there's been a number of people that have been a blessing to my family before, and I am very, very thankful for that. And I'm hoping and praying that God will use us to be a blessing to those that are in need too. But the Bible is the one that says things like, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power and in thine hand to do it. The Bible is the one that says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that he which he hath given will he pay again. You know, the Bible is the one that says that we should look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What is the Bible saying is we should try to help those that are in need. How do we help those that are in need? Allow God to speak to our hearts. Be as close as we can as we God, and let God use us. Don't make up excuses. Don't say, you know, I don't like the way they treated me. Don't say, hey, I've already done so much. Don't say, I'm too old to do it. Respond to the forgiveness and respond to the kindness that God has showed us and say, because the Lord has done this for me, I'm going to respond by showing him gracious, others graciousness, and I'm not going to do it to try to get things. I'm not going to do it to try to earn respect from someone else. I don't want them to glorify me. I want them to glorify my Father, which art in heaven. So tonight we don't have a piano player because Kristen went in the back, which is fine. I told him that Mr. Chambers was willing to sing a solo without any music, which is very kind of him. But I'd like to take just a few minutes of time of invitation while you're sitting there and just a little bit of reflection about things that are said. But here's my challenge for you. I'm only going to take 2 or 3 minutes. I'm going to close this in prayer in just 2 or 3 minutes. I want you to be thinking about different people that are in need and asking God, how could I help these people? God, speak to my heart about how I can be a blessing to somebody else. Like I said, going to take about 2 or 3 minutes. I'll close this in prayer, and we'll be done for the night.